Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. So we encourage you to share your story with us at info@fellowshipgj.com or by clicking the Share Your Story tab on the Church Center app. Also, if God is using this ministry to impact you, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially. And you can do that by clicking on the giving link located in the description below this video, online at fellowshipgj.com, or if you're a member here at Fellowship Church, you can give through our Church Center app. This will help us continue to bring the message of Christ to our community and beyond. Again, thank you for joining us today and enjoy today's service.
Well, the struggle is real. Yes, it is. And we've been talking over the last few weeks about different things that we're going to face, sometimes on a daily basis, that can be a struggle and how God can help us. Well, this week we're talking about the fact that we want to help. What does that mean? Well, there's going to be people in our life that we want to help. We love them. We want to see the best for them. And we want to help them. But for whatever reason, they don't really want our help or they don't really want to listen to us, right? A lot of people that we will face in our life that can have that attitude. Now, Rebecca and I, one of the things that we love to do is we love to travel like most people do. And so we like to take our vacations, and we are kind of tropical people. So we like to go places that are warm. And probably 10 years ago, we were on a trip together, and we noticed that this particular place that we were vacationing had a surf machine at it. Now, we've always liked water sports. We just love boating. And so we thought, you know, this would be something that would be fun, to be able to try that. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen these machines before, but the ones that we were riding were called flow riders. And a flow rider will shoot water out in a very thin wave over a mat at 35 miles an hour. It takes 30,000 gallons of water every minute and pushes it through a cycle for you to surf on. And it looks really fun, and you know, you watch people on there, and they're really good, and you think, oh, I can do that, I can do that. This will be easy. And then you try it, and you realize it's not easy at all. It's super, super hard. Now, you may have even seen like on YouTube or some of those channels or shows where it shows people eating it on something really hard and then everybody laughs at them. Well, this is that kind of machine. And sometimes the people ask, well, what does it feel like to wreck on a flow rider? And it's kind of like the thought of what it would be like to be flushed. That's what it feels like. Because you fall over and this jet hits you and it pushes you back over this wave into a wall and usually rips your shorts halfway down. I mean, it is something else. But when you figure it out, it's super fun. It's so much fun. And so we set out on a quest together. We're like, we're going to learn how to do this. We took lessons and we spent hours and hours learning how to carve and do different tricks on this flow rider. But the way it's set up is you get in line, and this line kind of wraps around the machine, and you kind of just watch whoever's in front of you take their turn, and you talk to people, you know, while you're in line, and because you're in a kind of a cool location, you get people from all over the country that are there wanting to try this machine. And so you talk and you start, you know, talking about, well, have you done this before? Oh, you've done this. Oh, wait, well, you haven't. Or, oh, well, could you help me? Could you give me some tips? And it never fails. You get people that will say, could you give me some tips? And you're like, well, you know, sure, I'd love to try to tell you. So you start off and you say, well, you know, first thing is you got to make sure you keep your shoulders square, you keep your head up, you know, you stay standing up, you don't bend over, you know. And about the third sentence, you see them gaze off into the world of I knows. You ever seen somebody do that? They ask your opinion, and you start to tell them because you might know something about the particular subject. And within just a very short period of time, you see their eyes kind of glaze over, and they start thinking to themselves, I know. And it's so frustrating. It is so frustrating when you're talking to somebody, and they say, I know. I know, because they don't know. They don't know. And so they won't listen, and then sure enough, they get on this wave, and it absolutely flushes them, and they eat it, and everybody kind of laughs. It's a very humbling experience, actually. If you just, you know, if you ever pray that God will humble you, that will do it. Just go jump on a flow rider. But after they get off, then they usually might be a little more open to hearing you the next time. The eye knows. You know, Jesus and the disciples, when they would go into new cities, when they would go into new areas, and they would start trying to teach people about the saving knowledge of Jesus, about his miracles, they would deal with a lot of people that had the I knows. And not only the I knows, but the I know mores. Like, you know, I know. I honestly, I know more. Can you think about the fact that these people were looking at the Son of God and saying, I know. Or, I know more. And it was really hard, disheartening for the disciples, because they would go into these cities, and you've been this way before, where you've had something that changed your life, and you wanted the people around you that you love to have that same experience, and you would go to them, and you would share with them, and they didn't hear you, or they would just reject you. And the disciples were finding that. I mean, they were spending years with Jesus, who did miracle after miracle and who changed their life, who forgave them of their sin, who brought them out of the bad life that they were in and into this new life. And they wanted everybody to know about it. But a lot of people rejected them. Many people wouldn't listen. Many people had the I knows. And Jesus understood this. And when they came to Jesus and they're like, you know, what do we do? Either certain people, certain communities, certain cities won't even listen to us. And he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. And what he's saying there is shake the rejection off like you would the dust from your shoes. Because when you try to help somebody and they don't listen, or you think that they're listening, and then they go out and do exactly the opposite of what you told them to do, that's rejection. That's rejection, and we take that very personal. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of harsh. I mean, why did Jesus say that? Jesus says this because he understands that there's a difference between giving up on someone and giving someone up to God. He gets it. He understands it. But he also understood that there are certain people that you can't help. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about four types of people that we want to help, but we can't help. And that doesn't mean we give up on them. That means that we give them to God. And that first type of person is a person that you can't help because they don't know they need it. They don't know they need it. The Bible talks about these people as being self-deceived or having a veil of deception. In 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18, Paul is talking about a group of people that won't listen to the truth. You ever been around a person like that? And you can show them, the sky's blue, it's blue, look. No, that's not blue. The truth is right before their eyes, but they can't see it. Well, that's what he's talking about. Paul's talking about these kind of people. Even though it's super clear, the truth is super clear. Something is keeping them from getting the help that they need. And he says, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, in other words, whenever the Bible, the Old Testament was being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. They just can't see. They can't see it. And you might say, well, maybe I can help someone see. Maybe. But you can't help someone see who loves being blind. There's some people that love being blind. Some people like their current state. Now, I love Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil talks about this subject, and one of the things he says is that there is a payoff for a person to live that way, or they wouldn't be doing it. Some type of payoff there. Some kind of satisfaction, some type of joy, as twisted as it could be, or maybe some type of attention that they're receiving that would keep them in that state and not want help. Well, the second type of people that we run into from time to time is a person that you can't help because they, even though they know they need it, they don't want it. Yeah, there's people out there like that. You probably know them. They know they need it, but they don't want it. Some people are okay not being okay. They're okay not being okay. I mean, do you know somebody like that? Someone that should have hit their rock bottom years ago, but they haven't yet. I mean, I have somebody in my life. It's a family member. And this person will not accept the truth. They will not see the truth. They will not try to make changes in their life. And they have lived this way for decades, to the point where they have rejected every family member. They have rejected every friend. They have rejected every offer of help through the years. And honestly and unfortunately, they will probably never change. They know they need it, but they don't want it. And then third, you can't help a person who knows they need it and they want it. They just don't want it from you. Now, of course, nobody in this room has anybody in their life like that. You see, people can be needy and picky at the same time. They can. It's like this. It's like you fall off a cruise ship and somebody throws you a life preserver and you push it away and go, no, 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 I want a lifeboat. We're there to help. We're there to be there for them, but they don't want it from us. And it's interesting because so many times family members want to try to help family members. And the truth is that the family should be the right people to help us out of our situations. But for some reason, because they're family, we won't listen. We won't listen to our parents. We won't listen to our siblings. We won't listen to our aunts or uncles. We won't listen to family because for some reason we may not respect them or they're too close to the situation and we just don't listen. There's a reason for this. And the reason is the devil wants us to have problems with the people that can help us. Oh, did you get that? The devil wants us to have problems with the people that can help us. If someone has the answers to help you, the devil will get you to pick up an offense against them or have a problem with something that they are telling you to do. We see this all the time. We see this in counseling situations all the time. Now, we have some great counselors here in this valley, and we refer a lot of people to counselors. And we'll tell them, hey, look, and there's a few in particular that have a waiting list. It's super, super hard to get into them. And so we've done favors for people before where we've said, look, I know this person personally. I will make a call. We'll do whatever we can to get you in. And so we'll get them in. It might be a marriage issue. It might be a parenting issue. It might be an addiction issue. It might be whatever. And then a few weeks down the road, we'll go to them and we'll say, hey, how's it going? How's that counseling going? And so many times that person will say, yeah, I don't like that counselor. Okay. Well, why? Well, you know, I told him to do something. I just didn't agree with it. Or they're telling me to do something and I don't really understand it. So I just don't know. I just don't want to do it. The devil wants you to have a problem with your counselor. And it is amazing because we'll see people that will pay money to go get help but won't take the help even though the person is the expert in the situation. Listen, you don't know more than the counselor. That's why you're going to the counselor. It is so crazy that it has to be spiritual. And it is spiritual. The devil wants you to have a problem with that person. He wants you to have a problem with your counselor. And it happens so often. I've lost count. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, wrote in Proverbs 1, verse Verse 20, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. And what he's saying is there's wisdom everywhere if you'll just seek it out, if you'll just look for it. And then it says, she calls to the crowds along the main streets, to those gathered in front of the city gates. How long, you simpletons, she cries, and the simpletons are those that lack God's wisdom, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you go through life not seeking God's wisdom and seeking his help and trying to do things on your own? That's what he's saying. How long will you mockers relish in mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. He's like, hey, I'll help you. I understand. I've been there. I can help. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. Isn't that frustrating? Isn't that a struggle? So these people know they need it. They just don't want it from you. And then number four, you can't help a person who wants help, but not now. They want help, but not now. And there's three reasons why that might be the case. First is that they're not ready to do the work to get better. Because to change or to get better takes work. It does. And if you go to a counselor that's worth their salt, before you leave, they will say, I need you to do these things before you come back. You got this homework. Here's some stuff that you need to do. Here's some stuff that you need to implement in your life. And you see, people don't want that. People don't want to do work to get better. They just want you to make them better. Work's hard. Work takes effort. Work takes time. And we're in this instant gratification world of fast food and internet and everything else. I mean, you should be able to fix my problems as if I was going through the Taco Bell drive-up. But it's not that way. It's hard. It's a process. Another reason why you may want it but not want it now is that you're still enjoying what you're doing in spite of the fact that it's hurting you and it's hurting the people around you. And then thirdly, you may want the help, but you want it your way. Da 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 da. You want it your way. Guys, here's the truth. I just made a lot of people hungry right there, didn't I? Having it your way has not worked for you up to this point. You have to make a change. You have to put in the work. Now, here's the truth about this message. Man, you start hearing these words, and what happens? You start thinking, that's true about them. I wish they were here. Oh, boy. I'm going to give them the link to this message. They need to hear this. But how many times have we been in a season where we were the ones that wouldn't accept the help? Or maybe we're in that season right now. And there's people maybe even around you that are like, "You, that's you! Do you not see it?" And we go, well, that's everybody else. That's part of that veil of deception. The devil wants to keep you in your misery. He wants to keep you in your problems. He wants to keep you defeated. He doesn't want you to get help. So what do we do? What do we do in our situation? What do we do to help others? Because this is flat saying there's certain people we can't help. But we don't give up. We give them to God. And the first pre-step to this is for us. The pre-step is we have to do what Jesus says, and we have to shake off the dust of rejection. And we do that by forgiving. So we just say, okay, Lord, I couldn't help them. I tried. They won't listen. It really hurt me, but I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to give them over to God. So that's for us. But then what we need to do for them, the first thing, is we always have to give them up to God. Give them up to God. Relinquish control to the Lord. Now, the last song that we sang, I love that last song, that last worship song, God Problems. Don't you love that song? I love that song. And in that song, the main lyrics are, "There are just some problems only God can fix." We almost changed those lyrics this morning to, "There's just some people only God can fix." Because that's true. So we have to relinquish control. But many times, anybody here struggle with a little bit of control issues? Lying, you can't lie in church. Control's an issue for us. And usually we struggle with control because we've been hurt in the past and we decide, I'm not going to be hurt again, so I'm going to try to control my situation as best I can. Or I don't want my kids to be hurt, so I'm going to do my best to control them. And then we become helicopter moms and helicopter dads. You've seen them, right, before. They just follow around their kids all the time. Oh, don't touch that. Don't do that. Okay? Control. Control is something that we struggle with. And many times our control issues hold back what God is trying to do in the person's life that we love. Pain is sometimes the sting that God uses to wake a person up. Now, I don't know if you ever played sports before, but one of the things back in my day when we were playing football, you get knocked out from time to time. You just do. And the trainers have these things called smelling salts, okay? And it's this little tube, and they put it right up under your nose, and they crack this tube. And I don't know what's in there, okay? But it goes up into your brain and your nose cavity, and you wake up. It doesn't matter how bad you're knocked out, you wake up. And God wants to sometimes use the pain in our life that either we have caused or the enemy has caused to wake us up. But if we're not careful, and if we struggle with control, we will reach in and rescue someone that we love every time God is trying to teach them something. And then we enable the problem in that person's life. So like we're praying, God, help this person. God, help them to see what the road they're going down, that it's bad, it's not good. And so he tries to help them see that the road is bad by stumbling a little bit. And what do? Let me catch you. Here's some money. Let me fix that for you. Come on, I'll help you. And God is saying, just let them fall. They'll be okay because I have them. I'm trying to teach them something. I'm trying to help them be able to stand on their own. I'm trying to show them that they need me. That's what God wants. We have to stop rescuing the people that we love and let God rescue them. And it's hard. Oh, my gosh. It's so hard to see your kids or those that you love going through a hardship. It stinks. It's no fun. And God doesn't like to see that either, but God sees what's on the other side of that. He sees what's on the other side of the hardship. We need to trust that he sees what's on the other side of that hardship. Number two, the second thing that we got to do, never stop praying. Never stop praying. And get serious about that prayer. You know, you hear that all the time. Just pray about it. We'll just pray about it. When I say pray about it, I'm saying pray. Get serious. One of the things that we teach in Spiritual Warfare 2.0 is that you need to take the scripture and personalize it and turn the scripture into prayer for those that you love and for yourself. And we have these cards. They're awesome. And they will teach. In fact, Pastor JL's talking about this in our Wednesday night class. But it has all these scriptures under what to pray for your spouse, what to pray for your kids, what to pray for your work, what to pray for your church. And you take the scripture and you personalize it to the issue. And what that does is it weaponizes scripture in your prayer life on behalf of the person you're trying to help or for yourself. Guys, it's the only offensive weapon, according to scripture, that we have against the devil, the sword of the spirit. Everything else is defensive. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the spirit, or sword of the spirit is our offensive weapon. Shoes of peace, belt of truth. That's all defensive. Sword of the spirit. That's what we have to come against the enemy with. And when we start weaponizing scripture against the enemy, oh, it cuts him deep. It cuts him deep. And you can cut the talons, the things that connect that enemy, the devil, with the person that you love when you start weaponizing scripture. Here's the other thing you got to pray. You got to pray that God would break them, no matter what the earthly cost. Breaking is a process of humbling someone to realize they can't make it without God. And that's a tough prayer to pray for those that you love. But when you pray it and God starts to do it, you can't rescue them. Let the process happen. Pray that God would break them no matter what the earthly cost. Because here's the thing. The person that you love, we don't know what their rock bottom is, but God does. And whatever the earthly cost is worth paying for their eternal security and for them to get out of the mess that they're in. Third, pray that God would put someone in their life that has influence that will speak the truth to them. If they won't listen to you, if they won't listen to family members, if they won't listen to some of their friends, then pray that God would put somebody in their life that they will listen to. It's crazy that those that love you or that you love is sometimes the last person that you'll listen to or that they'll listen to. But they'll listen to somebody. One of the things that we prayed for our kids, and we learned this in a series called Preparation for Parenting, is it says for you to pray that God will put somebody in your kid's life that you trust, that loves God, that will tell them the same thing that you will. That's why youth groups are so important. That's why children's ministry is so important. And that's so true, but it's once something that drove me crazy because with Lindsay and Madeline, I can't tell you how many times we'd be like, hey, you know, you shouldn't do this and don't say that. And you know, here's the situation that you're in right now. And this is how I would navigate it. This is what the Bible says about navigating that process. And you know how your kids are. They're like, hey, yeah, whatever. Whatever, Mom. Whatever, Dad. You know, they do that. And then they would come back from vertigo, or they would come back from what's now 4640, middle school or high school, and they would come in and they would go, Dad, you would not believe what JL said. You would not believe what she taught. And she would tell me what JL had just taught. And I would think in my mind, I taught JL that. Right? But that's okay. As long as somebody's in their life that they'll listen to, that loves God, and that will tell them the same thing that you would. And then number four, pray that the devil would lose interest in them. You can do that. I mean, God answers prayer. God can do all things. And we know so many people in our life right now that we love that are making poor choices, that are going down the wrong road. And one of the reasons that's happening is because the devil is so entwined in their thinking. He's so entwined in their life that they may have that veil of deception. Just pray that the devil will lose sight, would lose interest in them. Man, that would make the fight easier, wouldn't it? So as we close this morning, I wonder if you'd stand with me. Let's do a little spiritual warfare on our behalf as well as on the behalf of those that we love. So the first thing that I would like for you guys to do is if you just close your eyes, and I want us to do what Jesus told the disciples to do. I want us to shake off this dust of rejection. And one of the first steps that we can do that with is we just got to forgive them. Got to forgive the person that has rejected our advice. Forgive the person that has decided not to listen to us. Forgive that person. And so I just want you to think of whoever that is, and I want you just to choose to forgive. And just pray right now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to forgive, but I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive my daughter. I choose to forgive my son, I choose to forgive my spouse, whoever it is, just choose to forgive them right now. So Lord, we just choose to forgive. And Lord, as we forgive, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bind that spirit of rejection and you cast it out of our life. In fact, I want us to do that symbolically with your eyes closed. Wherever you're standing, I want you just to physically just shake your foot. Shake that dust off your feet. And in Jesus' name, as we shake that dust off, we pray that rejection will leave us. And then, Lord, we want to give this person over to you. So we relinquish control. And just tell the Lord that. I really relinquish control, my best friend. I relinquish control of that coworker. I love them so much, but God, I know I can't fix them. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take whatever veil of deception off of them that they may have. And do that miraculously. Do that in the spiritual right now. And Lord, I pray that God would just put somebody in their life. I pray that you just put somebody in their life that they would listen to. Put somebody in their life that will have influence. Maybe they've made investment in that loved one, and for some reason, they'll listen to them. We're fine with that, God. We don't care who gets the credit. But put somebody in their life that they will listen to, that can reach them. And Lord, we want to pray big prayers, so we just pray that you would make the devil lose interest in them. We rebuke the enemy from those that we love in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, for us, maybe we're in that season where we have not listened to help. We've not listened to counselors. We've decided that we're going to reject the truth for whatever reason. I pray that you would remove that veil of deception from us. And you would bind up that lying spirit, because that's what the devil is. He's just a liar. And you would clear our minds. And Holy Spirit, you would loose the truth in all of us. We thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you that you love those that we love. And we thank you, Lord, that you just want to do life with us. Help us to always stay reliant on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. See you over there in just a second for baptisms. God's going to bless over there. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Fellowship Church. If you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can do that right now. I just want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again. And God, I thank you for that. I ask you now to be my Savior and to guide my life, to give me a home forever in heaven. And God, I ask you this in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you just prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to celebrate with you. Please text HEAVEN to 94,000 to get in contact with our staff where we can answer any questions you may have. Also, if you're in need of prayer, we would love to support you. You can submit your prayer requests by texting PRAYER SUPPORT to 94,000. Our prayer team will receive your request and immediately start covering you. If this was your first time experiencing Fellowship Church, or if you want to learn more about one of our many ministries, you can text FELLOWSHIP to 94,000 to connect with our staff. As always, we are still just a phone call away. You can contact us at 970-245-PRAY with any questions. Thanks again, and we hope to see you next week in person or online.